What's up, Browns fans? This is Austin Farron from Sugar Creek, Ohio, and you're listening to the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. We hope you all had a good week. Shout out to Austin from Sugar Creek for that awesome intro right down the road. One of Coach Zach Kopp's old disciples in baseball, so it's good to hear from a local kid. We got a fun episode lined up for you guys today. Brian Bosarge from Deep Fried Draft is with us to grade last week's mock draft. I'm pretty sure he's going to rip us a new one, so that's exciting. Before we get into that, remember to check us out on Facebook. Please share the episode. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and please subscribe on YouTube. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcast. Head on over to one of those platforms and give us a 5-star review if you got time. We're still looking for more intros into the show like Austin's today, so if you'd like to get your intro on the show, all you have to do is head to www.thedogspodcast.com and click the leave voicemail button at the bottom of the page, say your name and where you're from, and that they're listening to the Dogs, and get your intro in on the show. What do you think about that today, Zach? Okay, cool. Before we get into our mock draft evaluation, we want to remind you all to head to thenorthwest.com. Check out some of the awesome products that our friends at the Northwest Group have to offer. They have pillows, blankets, comforters, beach towels, pretty much anything you can imagine. They can screen print something on it. Obviously, we're partial to the Brown stuff that they offer, but they also have things like Frozen, Star Wars,
yeah. Harry Potter.
Yeah. So, you know, if you got kids or, you know, you're like us, a little bit nerdy, you know, check out the Northwest Group. They got some really awesome stuff. You use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout. You receive 25% off your entire order. We actually got our hands on a few of the items. We're currently running a giveaway contest for them, which we'll get into the details later, and we're going to post a separate video with the details on how you can win these this pillow and this blanket. So make sure you check out that video after we post this episode, and 25% off your entire order at checkout, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S. So like I mentioned earlier, we have Brian Bosarge from Deep Fried Draft with us today to pick apart last week's mock draft, give us a little bit of insight on what the Browns might be looking to do. Brian runs deepfrieddraft.com, and you can check him out on Twitter at Deep Fried Draft. Thanks for being with us today, Brian.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. I had a good time watching your mock draft show last week. Took copious amounts of notes, so we're going to have a little fun with this today.
Man, so all you guys on YouTube ripping us apart, you can chill out now. We brought somebody on to rip us apart.
Yeah, I'm super nervous.
We know that wasn't a very expert driven mock draft last week. We got some work to do. So Brian, how long have you been doing mock drafts, analyzing the draft, that kind of thing?
Officially, I started Deep Fried Draft in 2012, and so that was like the official, hey, let's make this really count. But I mean, I've been following the draft since 1990. I mean, I was 11 years old, and I just became obsessed with the draft. I haven't missed a televised pick of the draft since then, and it's just kind of been an obsession of mine. I live in Mobile, Alabama, have my entire life, home of the Senior Bowl, where they now like to say that's where the draft starts. And so, I mean, I really started from there. I went to my first game when I was 7. So, I mean, I'm 42 now. So it's I've been going at this for a little while.
Well, that's awesome. So you said you haven't missed a televised pick since the 90s. So
every single pick that they showed on television. Now, they used to not show a lot of it, but I vividly remember this in my mind, the 1995 draft. They showed on ESPN, I didn't have ESPN. They kicked the draft over to ESPN2. No, actually, ESPN2 wasn't even a thing then. But so they would show every 15 minutes on the bottom line on ESPN, they would show the last 30 picks or whatever would go by. I would record. There was a NASCAR race on. I would record the NASCAR race so I could rewind and get all the, so I would know all the picks from that draft. I just remember this vividly in my head.
You're way more devoted to your craft than I am. So I'm just going to, that's exciting. How many hours, researching like this draft, every single player, how much, is it time consuming? How much time do you put into this?
I like to think of this as, like most people my age, most guys my age, they have a hobby. so to speak, where, you know, they go fishing and they spend X amount of dollars a year on fishing or hunting and stuff of that nature. This is essentially, I'm not going to call it a, it's essentially a hobby, because I don't, I'm not exactly, you know, becoming financially, you know, rich off this or anything, but it's like, so I spend, like, during college football season, for example, I'll DVR 10 to 12 games a week, and I'll, you know, I'll rewatch them and I'll record them and I store them on an external hard drive as I'm chopping up the games. And so I tend to try to get at least three games of every, I make a list before the season of 300 players. And I try to get at least three games of each player, you know, during the season, you know, if possible. And so I kind of have a generally good idea of every player that I'm watching.
How much beer do you drink during the? Is this a beer drinking thing, or just a little off topic question? Okay,
I just actually don't drink at all.
Okay, I was just throwing that out there, man. Just feeling that out. Personal question.
Well, hey, that, you know, I'm happy you do that, because this, I think this is going to be awesome. Yes. So, you know, you said you took copious amounts of notes. So I guess we'll move into our mock draft. For anybody who didn't get to catch last week's episode, the first pick we made of the draft was at 26. We took Zaven Collins out of Tulsa, the linebacker. Yay or nay on that one?
If you look at nearly every mock draft out there these days, Zaven Collins is the popular pick for the Browns at 26. So I'm not going to tear it apart too much. I think he fills a need for the Browns. He can do edge rushing on, you know, third down. He can do, you know, he's solid coverage. He had, you know, a couple of pick sixes in his career, which is not something you normally see from a 260-pound linebacker. Great size. He tested tremendously at his pro day yesterday. That's another thing that I'm going to kind of – I don't want to completely hammer you guys, because some of the picks you were made were from players who haven't even had their pro days yet. So it's kind of like, you know, you maybe didn't have all the information in some of the picks. But with Collins, he had his pro day yesterday. 4.67 40 for a 260-pound linebacker, 35-inch vertical leap, tremendous numbers for a player his size. So I can understand that pick. Corner, you guys discussed corner a lot, and you were this close to going with Asante Samuel Jr., who's another corner that I really like. He's my number four overall corner behind Sertan and J.C. Horn, but he was behind one other guy that you guys never even really brought up, although he was on the board at a couple of different spots. And it's a guy who, in my next mock draft that's probably going to publish later today, I'm going to have the Browns picking at 26. It's Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. Played at the Senior Bowl. He's a junior, but he was eligible to play. 6'2", 205, 4'4", 40, with a 80-inch wingspan, 41.5-inch vertical leap, 11-foot, 2-inch broad jump, tremendous shuttle times, great athlete. I even think he could be a free safety if need be. He played both during Senior Bowl practices, but I really like Ifeatu Melifonwu to play opposite of Denzel Ward for Cleveland. But if Zaven Collins was the pick, I'm not going to fight it.
All right, so we didn't do bad in round one, I guess. So if you're going to take that corner – in the first round, then I'm assuming with our second round pick, you're not taking Campbell, the cornerback out of Georgia.
No, I would not. And although I do like Tyson Campbell as well, so if you guys went Collins to Campbell, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I want to come back with an edge rusher in the second round, because there's another guy that you guys did not really discuss at all that was on the board there that I saw. When you guys picked, it's a player out of Houston named Peyton Turner, 6'5", 270. Another guy I saw at the Senior Bowl. He hasn't had his pro day yet, but this guy is long. He's built long, and he's just he gets after the quarterback, nonstop motor. He gets a little off balance sometimes, because you ever seen a player where his torso almost seems like it's longer than his legs? Well, he's kind of built like that, but so he gets kind of off balance at times. But his motor and ability to get to the quarterback is off the charts. So I would kind of flip-flop almost what you guys did, where you guys went sort of edge rusher, linebacker, then corner. I would kind of go corner and come back with the edge guy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, I mean, I'm okay with what you guys did in the first two rounds as far as that goes.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I want to pick your brain too on this, Brian. So is that driven a lot by the fact that this class is a little more deep with edge rusher talent than it is with cornerback talent?
To an extent, yes. I have at least probably 15 to 16 players that I could see being picked in the first three rounds as edge rushers. Guys that are going to be able to contribute early at an NFL level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, this is the first time I've ever done a full seven-round mock draft. I think it was for a lot of us. I think when we got done and I went home and I was kind of rewatching our episode and looking at our mock, I definitely think that, you know, I was rethinking strategy already. I was thinking cornerback first round and then going that edge in the second round. Just because, like you said, I think we can get a really good corner in the first round and then still get like a super solid edge in the second. And I think if we go edge first, then the cornerback pick in the second might suffer a little bit.
Well, the thing with this cornerback class is you only have so many of the true boundary corners or the outside corners, where this class is loaded is with nickel guys. And the Browns just spent, you know, some money on Troy Hill, right? So, and he's probably going to be your nickel this year. So I don't really think you're going to see a nickel corner come in and contribute early at all. Whereas, you know, you can probably slot in, you know, a starting corner outside on the opposite side of Denzel Ward.
Awesome. Yeah, I do think if there's two picks in this draft that are extremely important for the Browns to do their goals, which I think ultimately is Super Bowl this year, I think hitting on this first and this second round pick are they're key. They can't miss on these two guys, basically. So then we moved into our third round pick. We took the interior defensive lineman out of LSU, Tyler Shelvin. What can you tell us about him? Was that a good pick, or did we reach?
Currently, at this point in time, because you guys did not have the pro day information for Mr. Shelvin, Tyler Shelvin will now come in at the 29th ranked interior defensive lineman on my board.
Well, I think we reached.
he weighs in at 6'2", 350. There are reports out there that he has been close to 400 pounds at times. You guys did touch on the fact that he's had weight issues at LSU, and I'm not saying that he's not willing to change the idea of that, but most players, when you hear these reports that they've had weight issues, they tend to continue to have weight issues once they get to the NFL. But his testing was bad. He tested in the bottom 12% of athletes at that position since 1987. He's runs a 5.44 with a 28.5-inch vertical, barely an 8-foot broad jump. His three cone time was 8.19. I mean, he's basically going to be a 2-down run plugger. Is that something you want to spend, you know, high draft capital on? I personally would not. Now, you guys lose Larry Ogunjobi to the Bengals, so I feel like you've got maybe a nose with Andrew Billings. Shelton Richardson, you know, you brought him back. So I think you're looking for more of a pass rushing, maybe interior defensive lineman here, and a guy on the board that I would look for here that was on the board when you guys picked was Levi Onwuzurike from Washington, 6'3", 290, has pass rush upside, ran a 4.85 40 at 290 pounds, 29 bench press reps of 225, had a 30-inch vertical, 9-foot broad jump, tested in the top 91% of athletic testing for his position group. So complete opposite of Tyler Shelvin, so to speak. I think Onwuzurike is a guy, you know, that would fit in better for the Browns at pick 89.
Yeah, he sounds way better. You already convinced me that our pick sucks.
I just texted Andrew Berry and I said, hey, later on, check out this episode. We got some ideas for you, man.
the not having the pro day information on Shelvin, definitely, I think if we would have saw that he came into his pro day and was still heavy and that kind of thing, I mean, that's definitely a red flag. If you can't get up for your pro, I mean, he might have just cost himself, you know, millions of dollars. So if you can't get up for a couple million dollars, I don't know if we got room for you on our 53-man roster.
Well, another thing with Shelvin is with when you're talking about, like, can you not get up for your birdie? Dude didn't even play this past season. He sat out. He opted out of the season. So you had an entire year to get ready for this day, and you failed.
That's definitely a red flag.
Yeah, and I know we kind of picked apart some other players, too, because of the opt-out situation, saying, well, we don't have any information or data on you since 2019, and you've lost an entire year of development and experience. And then we picked Tyler Shelvin.
Yeah. All right, so we'll give that one. We'll call that a D-minus pick.
We'll call it a noopsie. How's that?
Yeah. Okay, so that moves us into our next pick. We took the safety out of Florida State, and I know I'm going to butcher his name, Hamza Nasruddin. What do you think of him?
I like him as a player, and I like to get your explanation on him. He's basically going to be your hybrid nickel linebacker, so to speak. I mean, a guy who's going to come in your dime package, and he's going to be your sole linebacker because he can cover, he can run, he can tackle. He's a good player. He's had some injury issues. That is why he's going to be available to you at pick 91. If he's got a clean bill of health, he's not available at this point, in my opinion. He tested solidly at Florida State's Pro Day. He didn't wow anything. He didn't run the 40 because of the injuries. He didn't do a broad jump because of the injuries coming off of. He played well at the Senior Bowl, had a good week of practice. So I like Nasruddin here for your pick at 91. I actually did the double check mark by that pick, so I thought he was the best player available to you guys at 91.
Well, hey, look at us go. You know what?
Pretty sure that was my pick, guys, just throwing it out there.
Well done.
Look at us. Well, it's good to see that we rebounded nicely from the Tyler Shelvin debacle. All right, so, you know, we don't want to rest too much on our laurels, so I guess we'll move right into our next pick, you know, let you tear us apart some more. We took St. Brown, the wide receiver out of USC. We do think the Browns need a little bit of wide receiver depth, especially if not for this year, in, you know, a couple years down the road. So were we way off base with St. Brown, or were we on the right track?
No, I think that's about right where he's could end up being drafted. Maybe in that he could go a little bit higher, maybe the late third, early fourth round area. There are some other wide receivers that could be available at this spot that, you know, you could banter about with. It just really depends on what you're looking for as a Browns team at wide receiver. Are you looking for a slot guy? Because if so, I think there were maybe better players available for that particular spot. If you're looking for depth at the outside position, you know, you could argue a couple of other guys. I was more along the lines of, because there was a guy available here that was on the board. I don't think he's going to be available at this point in time. I don't know how updated the PFF simulator was that you guys used, but I'm a fan of the offensive guard Trey Smith. I'm actually going to have a first round grade on him. And he was available in the fourth round in this simulator. So, like I said, I'm not going to say, you know, too much about, hey, we should have took him, because I don't really think he's going to be there. Yeah, when push comes to shove.
The simulator, we did some stuff, some simulations early in the week, and took on different ones to see which one we thought was the best, and the PFF one seemed like the best. And then as soon as we go live on our show, Trevor Lawrence went third. So I don't know what happened with that simulator. But, okay, so it sounds to me like in that round, if there's an interior offensive lineman available, maybe we should be looking there. Is that what you're thinking? Or you just think
not necessarily, because I'm going to come back to your next pick here in the fourth round, and we'll talk about that again, because – I think you guys hit a home run with that pick. But it's just to touch on receiver here, because I feel like receiver at this spot is a good spot for you guys to go with a receiver. I just don't really it could be St. Brown if he's on the board. I also really like Shai Smith, receiver from South Carolina, is another guy. If Anthony Schwartz from Auburn is available here on the board, this guy, if he had concentrated on track, could be running in the 2021 Summer Olympics for Team USA. He ran a 4.27 40 at Auburn's Pro Day. And I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in a 4.27 40 in my life. I tweeted out after it happened, and I said I was expecting Usain Bolt, and I got Justin Gatlin. Now, if you follow the Olympics, you know that Justin Gatlin always finished second to Usain Bolt in the Olympics in the 100-meter dash. But that's kind of what I was expecting. I was expecting him to, you know, run sub 4.2, and I got 4.27, which is still amazingly fast.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Schwartz, he's 6 foot 186. Auburn used him more as a gadget player and a go route. That was essentially what his role was at Auburn. I think he can be more than that if he gets NFL coaching. So Anthony Schwartz is a guy, if he's available for the Browns at pick 110, as a guy I could see, you know, could be transformative for their offense if given the chance.
Raiders are getting ready to trade up.
Is he fast? First round
pick talent. Yeah.
No, but I really like that, and I love getting some insight on some of these receivers that we could maybe hit on later in the draft, because I think we do – receivers not like that immediate need. We don't need a starter, but we need somebody who can develop into a starter next year, year after for sure.
I think next year is going to be very – and it's kind of – who knows where it's – where we're even going to need help at.
And you could also have inside the building there, they feel that, you know, they already have this guy in Donovan Peoples-Jones. Maybe, you know, they think that, hey, we drafted this guy last year. We think he's going to develop into more than what he gave us in year one, because he was just – because at Michigan, Donovan Peoples-Jones was completely underused as a player, and he started playing a little bit better as the season went on for the Browns. So he could be a – you know, they could feel like they already have that guy in the building, so to speak. So they may not even feel like receivers even a need at all.
I know, at least on this show, we were all really impressed with Donovan Peoples-Jones by the end of last season. And that's saying a lot for three big-time Ohio State fans. But, you know, he really came on late, and I was super impressed with what he gave us by the end of the season. So, I mean, you're right. We could be thinking that he's the guy of the future. We might not even address wide receiver. Okay, so then – you know, we'll let you talk about our home run pick here. The next pick, we took the tackle out of Notre Dame, and his name is Robert Hainsey, and apparently we did an awesome job with this pick.
You did, and I'll tell you why. Because at the Senior Bowl, Robert Hainsey didn't even play tackle. Although he was a tackle at Notre Dame, he didn't measure with 32-inch arms at his pro day, so that's a bit short for a tackle. The threshold tends to be 33.5 inches is what NFL teams feel is cut off before they move you inside. At the Senior Bowl, Hainsey played center all week, position he never played at Notre Dame, did a great job with it all week. In practice, handled it well, played guard, he played tackle, he played all five positions during Senior Bowl practices. Robert Hainsey is a guy, if you look at your offensive line, your starters are set. You feel good about every starter you've got up front. You need the depth guys. And Robert Hainsey, basically, he's going to be – you draft him here at pick 132. He's active on game day. He's one of your seven offensive linemen that are active on game day. He backs up all five positions. Great pick here with Robert Hainsey if he's available at 132.
Awesome. You think there's a chance he is, or you think that was more of a PFF simulator throwing us a bone?
I think he's probably, you know, if he's off the board in the middle of round three, I'm not going to be surprised. But, you know, other teams have different needs. And, you know, it's somebody like every year you see guys that fall through to the fourth round that you wouldn't expect to be there. Hainsey could, you know, be one of those guys that falls through the cracks. But I think he's probably more of a high third round grade on my board. But, you know, could the very real possibility he could slip to the slip to that mid to late fourth round area. Couple other guys that were on the board that, you know, if you hadn't addressed these positions early in the draft, interior defensive lineman Bobby Brown III from Texas A&M, guy, high upside player, a couple of corners, you know, if you hadn't, Cameron Bynum and a couple edge rushers, Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa is a guy I really like. They were on the board, but Josh Myers, center from Ohio State, you guys love the Ohio State guys. I think, you know, if he was if Hainsey's not on the board, he could be a guy that could back up all three interior positions for the Browns if he's available there at 132.
Awesome. Well, hey, good job guys on that pick. I think that was my pick.
I think you pushed pretty hard for that one too.
Okay. So that moves us into, you know, our next pick. We went back with Edge at the edge rusher out of Duke, Chris Rumpf. Home run or no?
He hasn't tested yet because wasn't able to test at their pro day because I think he's coming off a minor injury. But Rumpf has, he's a little undersized at 6'3", 244, not the biggest. So he's probably going to be a stand up rusher at the, he was very productive at Duke, his entire career. So you like to see that. There were a couple other guys on the board that I would have gone with here that I like, Chauncey Golston from Iowa, 6'4", 268. He tested well at his pro day, had a good week at the Senior Bowl, even despite being a late add. I like Ade Ogundeji from Notre Dame is another guy that I could see being there for the Browns. If you want to draft and stash a guy because he tore his Achilles training in the draft, but I think he would have been much higher on my board had it not been for that. Is another guy, the guy from Vanderbilt named Dio Odeyingbo, from Vandy, 6'5", 265, very productive in the SEC for the last 3 years. So, but he would be a guy that's definitely, he's probably going to be IR'd all season. You have to think he's not going to recover from an Achilles to be able to play this year. But you guys had mentioned running back, like at different points in time, had discussed, you know, taking a running back because you have Chubb, you have Kareem Hunt, but, you know, it gets kind of iffy after that. So a guy I had checkmarked here to take instead of Rumpf was Kylin Hill from Mississippi State. Tremendously productive running back for the 2 years before this year. Had a little issue with Mike Leach's coaching style. Maybe they butted heads a little bit. I get it. It's Mike Leach. Anybody who's followed college football knows he can be a bit of a headache. 4'5", 7" guy, decent athlete, but great. He's a great runner outside the tackles, in between the tackles. He, in his first game this year, he had 8 yards rushing, but had 8 catches for 130 yards against LSU in the first game of the season. So he can help out of the backfield. Will probably contribute a lot on special teams. So I like Kylin Hill here, another running back who's going to be available, probably would be available in the 7th round at this point, I think. But a guy I really have fallen in love with during this process is a running back from Maryland named Jake Funk. 5'10", 205, runs a 4.49 40, 38-inch vertical, 10-foot broad jump, 6.713 cone time, tested in top 97% of athletes. Great production this year. But he was hurt every year previous to this. But he's one of the better, was one of the better kick returners in the Big Ten at Maryland prior to his injury. So he gives you a lot of special teams upside as well. And that, and let's be honest, if you're drafting, when you're drafting guys in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round, they have to make it on special teams, or you're just going to cut them. They're just not going to be. They're not going to make the team.
Especially. Good.
Especially like I think you were going to say, with the Browns roster, it's pretty loaded.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You've probably got 40, 45 guys already on your team that you're not going to cut. So you're basically, you've got, you know, 10 picks here, 7 are going to make it, and the rest of them are going to go. So you've got to get guys who are going to, that have to be better special teams players than some of the guys you already have.
Okay. So that moves us into pick 211. We got two more picks in this draft, and I already know that you're going to lambast us for one. So, pick 211, we took center out of Penn State, Michael Mennett. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. You know, I think we took this guy before we knew that Hainsey could probably also play center. So I'm assuming this wasn't a great pick, but what do you think?
Well, and the other part is you've already taken Hainsey, so how many other offensive linemen are you going to be able to fit on? Because you've got to feel like you like some of your backup linemen, like Chris Hubbard, you know, Alex. I like that. Two of your backup tackles are guys that I thought had tremendous upside. Alex Taylor from South Carolina State, Greg Sinnott from Wagner. Those were two guys I thought high upside guys when they came in. They bounced around a little bit, practice squad, such as that. Nick Harris he played a little bit last year, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's you probably only got room for one offensive lineman if you're going to draft. It's going to make it. So if you drafted Hainsey, you got to feel like it would be a long shot for Michael Manet to make this roster. Maybe you're drafting him to push him to the practice squad. But if for the sake of argument here, I would probably have not taken Michael Manet. If you haven't taken a wide receiver up to this point, which you have with St. Brown, but there's a couple other wide receivers that were available that I really like. Josh Palmer from Tennessee is another guy I liked. Marquise Stevenson's another special teams, high special teams upside player from Houston. Linebacker Ernest Jones, who I had checked here from South Carolina, highly productive the past two seasons of South Carolina starting Mike linebacker. And since I'm a South Carolina, fan, that's who I follow on a weekly basis. I've watched every game he's played in college, and he's another guy that I think has high special teams acumen, so to speak, to contribute at the next level. So, he's a guy that I would have looked for here, but if you've taken Hainsey already, probably not going to take Michael Manet.
Yeah. I think that was Josh's pick. So
Zach's pick.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So that moves us into the last pick of the draft, and Zach's not even here, so we can't make fun of him. But we took Robinson, the running back out of Alabama, and I'm pretty sure he's not even draft eligible now. So
he is not. He opted to go back to school because the NCAA allowed everybody to basically. This was basically like a free year of eligibility for every player in college football. So every senior that entered the draft had to inform the NFL that they intended to do it. Brian Robinson was not one of those guys. Now Brian Robinson will go back to Alabama next year and probably be the featured back. So we could be talking about him as a higher draft pick next year. But he's not in this draft. So therefore you essentially drafted nobody here in the seventh round.
Do we draft his rights for after he's a first round guy for next year? It doesn't work like that, does it?
No, it does not. He's not a European point guard.
Darn, yeah, that's what maybe I mixed up the NBA there. Okay, hey,
was there a draft eligible player at this spot that you thought we should have looked at?
There was a couple of guys I had. I didn't really make a whole lot of notes on the seventh round because it's the seventh round, and the odds of this guy making your roster is probably not great anyway. But there is a receiver I wanted to talk about from Illinois named Josh Emma Torbhebhe.
I pulled him up on my screen because I've been hearing stuff about this guy and I just cannot say his name, so I was going to ask you how to say it.
I have not bothered to look that up just yet. But 6'1", 218 receiver, runs a 4.53 40. You're saying, okay, that's not great. Then you get to his vertical leap of 46.5 inches. That is ridiculous. 11'2" broad jump. He was solidly productive at Illinois, but he could only do so much with the quarterback play he'd received his entire career. There has been bad, but he's a guy that I like. That was another offensive tackle available. We just talked about, you're probably not going to draft a guy here, but I really like Tommy Doyle from Miami of Ohio. He's a guy I watched live at the Lending Tree Bowl a couple of years ago when they played Arkansas State, I believe. No, I'm sorry, they played University of Louisiana. He's 6'8", 320. Great athlete, tested well, 32-inch vertical jump, has 35-inch arms. But I think he completely just erased the entire right side of the Louisiana defensive line in that game. And I'm like, okay, I'm writing this guy down. He's a junior. I know he's not coming out this year. And then he opted out of this season prior to it, but then opted back in and played. I went back and watched his tape against Ohio State from the 2019 season. I thought he did a solid job. He had, got beat up, one or two times. It's to be expected, but against Ohio State, but he's a good high upside offensive tackle. He may be one of these guys that if you draft in the fifth to seventh round, maybe he doesn't make your roster, out of the gate, but you are able to put him on the practice squad and, you sneak him through, and then he makes, he ends up contributing for you down the road. But Tommy Doyle's a guy I wanted to talk about him before I got off this podcast. He's a guy I really like.
So, I something I did want to ask you with the, you know, as deep as the Browns roster is that we talked about, and they have 9 picks. Do we need 9 picks, or do you see them being aggressive and trying to move around this draft a little bit and maybe giving up a couple of these picks to do so to possibly move up and grab somebody? Because I just don't see, like you said, we're going to, if we draft 9 guys, 9 guys aren't making this roster.
History tells us that they will. Absolutely. Their front office is generally aggressive. And you're going to see maybe do a lot of what you call pick swaps where, you know, you move up, you know, you like, maybe you like somebody in the upper part of the third round. So you give up pick 89 or 91 and, you know, maybe the fifth round pick to move up to the top of the third round, you know, or, you know, swap positions, you know, come up in the fourth round, but go back in the fifth round, so to speak. They've done that a lot in the past. And yes, I would anticipate the Browns will do at least I would dare say probably one or two trades during the weekend, you know, involving some of these picks because yeah, they have 9 picks. There's no way 9 rookies are going to make this roster. So yeah, they would be wise to be aggressive to target the players they want. And you can see maybe even doing it in the first round. Maybe there's maybe one of these other corners. You know, one of the top corners like J.C. Horn from South Carolina or Patrick Surtain, the second from Alabama, slips a little bit into that mid to late teens, and the Browns get aggressive and come up from 26, you know, and give up one of those third round picks and, you know, maybe the fifth round pick or one of their fourth round picks to go up, give up 3 and 4 to package with their 1 and go up, you know, 5 or 6 spots to get one of those corners. You could definitely see it, and it's something that they've done in the past, and, yeah, they probably will do.
That's what we were kind of talking about, too, you know, between episodes here and just saying, you know, with our win-now window that we're in, it makes sense to just say, okay, let's sacrifice some of these extra picks that we have in this draft, and just if there's a guy that the Browns are like, that's our guy, go get him.
I've heard a lot recently just with J.C. Horn. I just keep hearing people just, you know, he's a stud. He's great. But, I mean, me and Blake were talking about it on the way over, how much it would cost to go from 26. I think in the latest mock draft, they have him at, like, 10 to Dallas.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you – like, if – I don't know if it – how much that would take to move that high up, you know, to go up 16 spots into the top 10 if he did, go at 10.
If you go back the last, you don't really have to go back that far to see, but it was for a quarterback. So the pricing gets a little bit different when you're going up to get a quarterback. But in the Mahomes draft, the Chiefs went up from 27 to 10, and it cost them their 1 the next year. In the same draft, Houston went up from 26 to 12. It cost them their 1 the next year. I personally would not be willing to part with a 1 next year to move up for a corner. And you're obviously not moving up for a quarterback. So that's why I said, I think you would have to see one of them have to slip into the late teens for the Browns to be able to feel comfortable striking. And you may also get to the situation where the Browns are like at 26, and okay, there's a lot of players that we really like on the board here. We move out and maybe pick up some capital for next year as well. Maybe trade out into the 2022 draft, you know, with a team wanting to, you know, move back into the first. They give up their 1 next year or something of that nature. So you could see something like that happen where the Browns just move out.
Let's hope that doesn't happen because we're hosting a live draft party and that would suck.
we're going home.
Yeah. That would be terrible. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
The thing though with this first round is I don't know what you think, Brian, but I think I think we're going to see quarterbacks start to go in that top 10, which like you said, could push some of these guys the Browns have their eye on into that mid-teen, late-teen area.
There's a scenario out there that I don't think it will happen, but I put it at about a 3% chance of happening, but there's a scenario out there where you could see quarterback go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. where you have, you know, Lawrence to the Jaguars, Wilson to the Jets. I think those two are locked in. We could probably write those down at 10. I think the 49ers, you know, look to, is it Mac Jones that seems to be the smoke now? I don't believe it, but, you know, maybe they like Fields. Or whatever, Atlanta, maybe they're ready to move on from Matt Ryan. So they go quarterback at 4. That's also never happened in NFL history. Quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, 4. It's never happened. But then you see, all right, there's one quarterback left. The Bengals obviously aren't taking a quarterback. So, but teams like the Panthers or the maybe even the Lions or the Broncos, they want to get that fifth quarterback. So now the Bengals are in prime position to cash in on a desperate team that wants the last quarterback available in the first round to come up to 5. And in that scenario, you could have quarterback go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, it's awesome for Cincinnati. It's terrible for the Browns, I guess. Cincinnati gets just better and younger, you know, through the draft.
So this isn't necessarily Browns related, but, you know, I did have a question. I've been hearing a ton of stuff about Justin Fields, like, dropping a ton in this draft, people not liking him. You know, we're seeing all the, like you said, this smoke about the Niners loving Mac Jones and going to take him at 3. To me, that sounds crazy, but, you know, I didn't watch 300 extra college games this year. So, what are you seeing? Is Mac Jones suddenly better than Justin Fields?
No. I'm just going to give you a straight answer. No.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is my number two quarterback behind Lawrence. Lawrence is one of the best quarterback prospects I've watched, you know, since I've started Deep Fried Draft. But Fields, to me, I mean, I can just look at one play against Clemson where he, you know, has a pass rush in his face, moves to the left, and just drops a complete dime 60 yards in the air to Olave for a touchdown. That was one of the best throws I've seen all in the last 4 years from any quarterback prospect. So, I mean, and he's a tremendous athlete. I wish he would have tested just to completely show how great of an athlete he really was. But, I mean, he does run the 40 and that's it. But, I mean, 4.4 speed for a quarterback his size is off the charts. No, I love Justin Fields as a prospect. I think he's going to be a tremendous starter in the NFL level. I don't understand why the slander is out there against him. I don't know. But then again, I mean, to play devil's advocate here, I really love Josh Rosen as a prospect when he came out. He was my QB1 that year in that draft class. But you heard a lot of chatter come out in the month leading up to the draft about his, you know, teams didn't like his attitude and stuff of that nature. And the guy's now on like his fifth NFL team since 2018. So, I guess you can't completely blow it off as offhand, I suppose, but it's not going to affect how I rank quarterbacks. And because to me, I can't say that Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Mac Jones. I just can't.
Okay. I don't think you can either.
Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Sorry.
That's kind of how I felt. You know, Mac Jones, in my opinion, he reminds me of, other than maybe Tua, every Alabama quarterback we've seen in the last decade, just the guy who got to play with, you know, 5 future Pro Bowl receivers and the biggest, best offensive line and, you know, a Heisman finalist running back. I mean, I could probably play quarterback in that system. So, you know, I mean, that's being crazy, but I want to get your thoughts on that because, I don't know, I'm a huge Justin Fields fan, and I couldn't believe what I've been hearing the last week about. I mean, I saw a mock draft with him falling all the way to the Patriots. I think that was Todd McShay's.
Yeah, Patriots traded up to 11 to take him. Yeah. And he made some throws. I don't know if it was his pro day. They were showing some of his throws, and I'm like, these all look really, really good. These are all really nice throws. I'm not sure what's going on that, you know, he's dropping.
In the scenario that I just described earlier, I think for that scenario to come to play, you would need to see the 49ers draft Mac Jones at 3. And then the Falcons draft Trey Lance at 4. And I think that is the play. If the Falcons are going to draft a quarterback, I think it's going to be Trey Lance because the contract structure for Matt Ryan is basically he's uncuttable and untradeable at the very least for this season. His cap hit this year would be like $40 million, right? Dead money if they were to cut him. You can't do that. But if any quarterback needs to probably sit a year and develop, or maybe even two, it's probably Trey Lance, right? I think we can all agree on that. He played 1 year as a redshirt freshman at North Dakota State, and that was it. So, but if Trey Lance was to go four, then you have Justin Fields as your own quarterback sitting there at five. I think you see a scenario where the Panthers are probably going to give the Bengals their number one pick in 2022, probably a 1 and a 3 this year, maybe even a 1 and a 2 this year, and they're going to go up from 8 to 5 and take Justin Fields.
Great, just what we want. Bengals with more draft capital.
Yeah, the division's not tough enough.
For the record, guys, we haven't talked about this yet, but I'm a Bengals fan.
Listen,
it's okay. It's an Ohio thing. I mean, obviously, division rival, but at least you're not a Pittsburgh fan or a Baltimore fan, so it's okay.
You've tolerated us pretty well so far, Brian. Yeah. I got to say, I'm pretty impressed with you.
Hey, you guys got a hell of a quarterback, so it's okay. I'm excited to see what he does.
Man, this could be a good little rivalry moving forward. We'll have to get you on here during Bengals week.
But another thing with Mac Jones, and to a lesser extent, I likened this last year somebody was talking about Jake Fromm from Georgia, and I really liked Cole McDonald from Hawaii. I didn't like him, so to speak, but I likened it to this, and I'm going to say this with Mac Jones and some of the other, like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. You can go to the gas station in most states, not Alabama, because Alabama sucks. But you can go to most gas stations and buy a scratch off ticket, right? Your odds of hitting the scratch off ticket payout is a lot higher than when you buy the Powerball ticket and winning that jackpot, right?
Right.
But to me personally, I'd rather buy the Powerball ticket because I'd rather be able to retire tomorrow than winning $200 on a scratch off ticket. And to me, Mac Jones is a scratch off ticket where Trey Lance and Justin Fields is your potential Powerball winnings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It does. Yep.
And that's kind of where I'm at. Give me the chance for the big payout.
Well, don't forget about us when you hit that payout.
Yeah, we're looking for sponsors.
Yeah, Deep Fried Draft sponsor the show.
I'll travel around to the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. I'm not going to bring anything really, really good to the table, but I'm down. Just count me in.
Brian, before we kind of wrap this thing up, one last thing that I wanted to talk to you about, I think next episode we're going to kind of dive into maybe the top edge rushers, top cornerbacks, kind of looking at that first pick of the Browns to see, kind of familiarize ourselves and the fans with some names and some of their traits and, analysis. Who, maybe give us like two of the top edge rushers and two of the top corners that you think would be ideal fits for the Browns, whether it's a 26 or if we have to trade up for them.
So a couple of guys that I think could be available, like let's just say guys who could be available in the range to Browns pick. Gregory Rousseau from Miami, 6'6", 266, edge rusher. He only has 1 year of tape as a redshirt freshman, but dominated that 1 year in the ACC. Did not test well at all for what, people thought he would. And if he did test as well as everybody thought he would have been completely off the board and would not even be in the range for the Browns to take here. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there with how that goes. Jalen Phillips is another guy from Miami. If he doesn't have an injury history, he's probably a top seven pick in this draft class. He's that good, but he's had, I've got my notes here on him are long. Severe wrist damage as a result of a moped accident, sprains of both ankles, 3 separate concussions, the last of which forced him to medically retire from football. He sat out a year and then decided to transfer to Miami where he dominated on the field. So you have that. And as an athlete, he tested in the top 99.9% of all defensive ends. I mean, he's a freak, but the injury history, is that something you really want to risk? I don't know. I have a feeling that probably half the teams in the league are not even going to have him on their board. A guy who I do think will be available for the Browns in that area in the trade back scenario that you guys don't want to see at all, but could be there in the top of the second round is a guy named Carlos Boogie Basham from Wake Forest, 6'3", 274, another tremendous athlete. highly productive at Wake Forest the last three seasons. I spoke earlier about Peyton Turner. In the third, maybe even the third round area, a guy named Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa, 6'6", 262. Chested in the top 97% for athletes at defensive end position. 41.5-inch vertical jump for a guy at 6'6", 262 is unheard of. So those are some of the guys that I think the Browns could target at edge. Corner, I spoke earlier about Ifeati Melifonwu. You guys talked last week about Asante Samuel Jr. Greg Newsom, the second from Northwestern, is another guy that could be available at 26 that could be of interest to the Browns. If you're looking for nickel corners, Aaron Robinson from UCF is a guy that could be there in the second round that could look good for the Browns. Cameron Bynum from Cal in maybe the third or fourth round area, one of the best tackling cornerbacks I've seen in watching tape this season. Darren Hall from San Diego State is another in that nickel role that is a tremendous tackler. So those are some of the guys I think the Browns could look after. You guys know about Sean Wade. He has – to say he's been up and down would be the would be an understatement, so to speak.
No kidding.
So, but he's a guy, you know, I could see the Browns looking at maybe in the second round.
Awesome. Well, hey, we'll dive into some of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
All right, well, we'll let you get out of here. We want to thank you so much for being here. This was awesome. You know infinitely more about all these draft prospects than all of us combined. So thank you so much for being with us today. If you guys like what you heard, which I'm assuming you did, head to deepfrieddraft.com or check Brian out on Twitter at deepfrieddraft. You know, you got to pay for a lot of these mock drafts and stuff on ESPN. And this dude just laid out all the knowledge you're ever going to need on the draft. So go check out deepfrieddraft.com and check him out on Twitter. Thanks for being with us again today, Brian. We can't wait to have you on. Hopefully again, when we do another mock, hopefully it goes a little bit better. And then even, you know, post draft, have you on, you know, see what you think of what the Browns actually ended up doing.
Hey man, that sounds great, man. I had a great time doing this.
Awesome. Hey, we'll talk to you later. You have a good day. Have a good Easter.
You too, buddy.
Well, I would say
that was awesome.
Not terrible for our first ever mock draft. I mean, I think we definitely had some picks that seemed like, okay, we would never do that. But I think we hit on more than I was expecting to hit on based on what Brian said.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't know that the guy was going to go back to us. He was in our simulator, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So, but I mean, the fact that we took somebody who's not even eligible for the draft now, no, so that puts a ding on our pick.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, for being our first ever mock draft, we did all right. And we really appreciate Brian coming on, going through that with us. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So before we kind of move into their next quick segment here, just want to talk to you guys all about Manscaped. You know, we've been talking about Manscaped. You know, they sent us some stuff. They're the best in men's below the waist grooming. They offer precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Tools for your jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They're trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. It's a lot of dudes, okay, getting their jewels cleaned up real nice. We have an exclusive offer for you guys listening right now. So go to manscaped.com, get yourself the Lawnmower 3.0, the Perfect Package 3.0. Enter code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. That's at manscaped.com. Just a little bit personal testimony here. I know that there have been times in the past that I've hit a snag or two when I've been doing a little bit of grooming on myself. And let's just say with Manscaped, that worry has gone out the window. They even got a little LED light on there. So if you're in the shower, you know, and you know it's not exactly the best lit place where you're trying to groom, all of a sudden, eureka, you can see what you're doing. Yeah, love these products.
So you've been doing some grooming in like gas station bathrooms and stuff like that. That's what it sounds like it's going down.
You could throw the lawnmower in like your survival kit.
Yes.
Like if you're ever lost in the wilderness, you
bottle use it of water,
as a flashlight.
Yeah, there
you go. Absolutely. So
you can shave yourself and make a blanket and keep yourself warm.
Get over to manscaped.com. Code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, 20% off your order plus free shipping. Your balls will thank you.
Listener mailbag.
Uh, Man, that never gets old hearing
no.
that.
No.
So like we said at the beginning of the show, if you want to get an intro or voicemail in on the show, you know, you head to thedogspodcast.com and leave us a voicemail. We have one from John today. We really appreciate you sending this in, and let's get into it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? New guy here. Just started listening to your podcast. Just watched the one from the March 20th. And I'm on the same page with all of you guys, man. Andrew Sadeo was a bum. I don't even know why we kept on starting him. I would have rather have started Sheldrick Redwine. But I think the prediction, my prediction for the draft would be Zaven Collins, convert him to edge rusher. He's the same exact size as Myles Garrett. Still kind of worried about the linebacker position, but hopefully Malcolm Smith and Anthony Walker Jr. could step that up and fly around the field for us. Still not sold on corner either. Denzel Ward stays hurt. Greedy Williams, he had a decent rookie year out all last year. I just hope he comes back, stays healthy, and balls out for us. Thanks for the time.
Well, hey, first of all, John, thanks for calling in, taking the time to watch us. That goes for all you, the new listeners out there. We see your comments. We interact with you guys. We appreciate everybody new listening to the show. The first thing you said was Andrew Sandejo is a bum. Couldn't agree more.
Completely.
And then as far as the you know your take on Zaven Collins, I'm liking this guy more and more just because of his versatility. The thing that scares me the most is I just don't think this front office – puts a lot of stock into linebackers, even though it's been an Achilles heel for the Browns for, it feels like my whole life.
Yeah. But I mean, just having that long conversation with Brian, I mean, he just reiterated over and over. I mean, what the Browns are looking for, it was that cornerback position in that first round. I think that he was gearing more toward, you know, moving up a little bit to try to take a guy. And then just kind of waiting for that edge rusher, you know, second round or so.
So, if we move up and we take a really good corner in the draft, you know, I can stomach that. But if we stay pat at 26 and Collins is on the board and we pass on him, that's where it's gonna hurt me a little bit because, you know, the guy's so versatile. I mean, he's Myles Garrett, and we can play him at linebacker, and then he can rush the passer on third and fourth down if needed. So to me, he almost fills two needs.
Yeah, and I know that was – I mean, that's what John was getting at. That's what our rationale was. We weren't taking a straight-up linebacker. You know, when we drafted him in our mock draft, it was this guy could play edge, I think, rush off the edge if we need him.
Yeah. I think we like what we have, too, with Phillips. I mean,
yeah,
especially if we're only going to have two – I've even heard stuff where we might only have one linebacker on the field.
Yeah, I would assume it depends on down distance scenario, right. That kind of thing.
I don't know. So I'm okay. I would be very disappointed if – we got to the draft and we still don't have that edge rusher, that starting guy, and then we don't address it. But also if we go and get a stud cornerback and we solidify, me and Blake were talking on the way over and the draft where they took Denzel Ward, I remember I wanted Bradley Chubb really bad. And I kept saying, man, can you imagine those two dudes coming off the edge? And man, we could just, you know, we don't need to address that anymore. And why did we take Ward? And the rationale was, well, hey, if they can shut down the receivers out there, the quarterback has to hold onto the ball longer. You don't need that guy.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, too. That's an excellent point because if you can make that quarterback hold onto the ball just a split second longer, and you got two guys or three guys trying to double, triple team Miles on one side, we got guys coming up to, you know, Malik Jackson's in here now.
Yeah.
You know, whoever else we get coming off the other side. I think that was the Browns' big weakness last year on – defense was couldn't cover anybody.
Mike Glennon looked like
Mike Pro Glennon. Bowler.
Yeah.
So that's my theory is if the Browns stay put at 26, I don't know if there's a corner good enough to draft at 26 that we couldn't be able to get especially if we move around and be aggressive like we think and move back up closer to the top of the second round. That's why I think if you stay at 26 and Collins is there, you take Collins, and then you move from 59, and you move back up into the 40s and take that corner. You know what I mean? Don't just take best available corner just because he's there. You might be reaching on him. You might be able to get him later and still get a stud like Collins. And like he said, we don't know what we're going to get with Greedy. I mean, I know like his rookie year, he showed glimpses of being all right. But, I mean, we don't know what we're getting.
Greedy or Delpit. And I liked Delpit coming out, and that's another one too. I'm like, man, if I knew that he was just going to walk out there and be a stud and, you know, everything was going to be great, I wouldn't have any worries at all. But to say I'm not worried, it would be...
Right. That is the thing with Delpit is you can't... Now, Greedy, you can do this, but with Delpit, you can't look back and say, oh, well, when he was on the field for the Browns, you can't look back and say that because he's never been on the field for the Browns. So we don't know.
2018, he looked great for LSU. Well, man, in 2018, I was still doing pretty good. So who knows what's going on.
But all right. Well, hey, like I said, thanks, John, for calling in. You know, call in next episode. Everybody call in. We get enough of these. You know, we can... You know, we'll do 10 in an episode if we need to.
Yeah, I'd like to do an entire, you know, mailbag episode. So leave your comments on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, call in, voicemails, intros. We need more intros from the fans out there. I mean, if you want to intro a show, I mean, the door's wide open for you guys.
Yep.
Do it.
So thank you again. All right. Well, I think Josh is going to tell us a little bit about the Northwest group.
Last thing real quick. We do have this contest going on. So far, we've gotten three people to enter, so there's a pretty good chance one of them is going to win. If you would like to saturate the process a little bit, please get your entries in. So I think I got this camera over here. You guys can win this awesome cloud pillow. This thing is super comfortable. Blake, do you want to hold up that blanket real quick? Show that camera over here. This is a Baker Mayfield fleece throw. We have these two items up for... you know, the contest here. So what you need to do is either subscribe to our YouTube channel, share each episode on Facebook. So you can enter multiple times that way. You can retweet each episode on Twitter. So there are multiple entries that way, or go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. Now, anytime you do any of these things, take a screenshot of it, email it to thedogspod@gmail.com. And that's an entry into the contest.
Yeah. For everybody who already is a subscriber on YouTube, you know, if you're already a subscriber on YouTube, then head to Facebook, share the video.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're already a subscriber, you know, then just head to Apple, write a review, send it in. You know, we're not trying to neglect any of the guys who have already been following us. So, you know, we want to give everybody multiple chances to get in. Right now you got a 66.66% chance of winning. So let's lower those odds a little bit.
I want to emphasize the 5-star review on Apple, because if you guys like this podcast, if you like the Browns content that we're going after here, help us out on Apple Podcasts, because the more 5-star reviews we get and the more subscribers we get on Apple Podcasts especially, that'll increase our rankings and help us get discovered more easily by other Browns fans around the world. So help us out, guys. Yep. This is a show for the fans, by the fans, and we appreciate everybody's support.
Yeah, and as far as this stuff's concerned, it's super nice. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to give it away to you guys. So,
I told you guys, I literally have a Moana blanket in my cart right now from them, because I, you know, I got kids. So,
yeah. I mean, the Mandalorian stuff on there is pretty sweet. Yeah, yeah. Get yourself some Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, head to thenorthwest.com and, you know, use your promo code DOGS, but also enter our contest, because this is some really nice stuff and, you know, it helps out the show that you guys are listening to. So we want to thank you guys for checking out another episode of The Dogs. Big thank you to Brian Bosarge for being with us today. That was awesome. Remember to check us out on Facebook. Please share the episode. You can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and please subscribe on YouTube. Lastly, remember to head to the Northwest group and use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, for 25% off your entire order. If blankets and pillows aren't your thing and you're more into shaving your nuts, head to manscaped.com and use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, for free shipping and 20% off your entire order. Remember to head to thedogspodcast.com to leave us an intro and a voicemail. We hope you all have a great Easter, and we'll see you guys next week.